Thank you, Reggie. Victoria, it's beautiful. On Tuesday evening, a study group meets here at the church. We read from a book, and then we discuss what it is that we have read. Now, the criteria for choosing a book is, first of all, that it is of a spiritual nature, and that it is discussable. What is the author trying to say? What is his message? Do we agree with it or not? Where does he get his information? And what is his concept of truth? Mystics and modern-day metaphysicians alike speak of truth, the truth of us, and each person presents it in their own way, sharing what they have learned in their time of study and contemplation. And really, this is the purpose of study. We want to know the truth of us. Now, no matter what words they use or how they present it, the message about truth, it is the same. We are spiritual beings, our nature divine. And our divine nature is called Christ. And the good news is that we may live from that identification of that self right now. Now, each author cautions us that it really is not the words in the book, or even the experience of the author, that makes it so. Our current author reminds us that the words in the book and what others have to say about their experiences are simply pointers, pointing us to direct us to turn within to our own soul's awareness so that we may receive personal revelation. In Jeremiah 2:21 we read, I planted thee a noble vine, holy a right seed. Melinda Kramer tells us that every expression, every creation requires an expressor or a creator. And what is presented is made up of the attributes of that creator. This really is law. It can't happen any other way. We are of God, a noble vine, and right in the midst of us is Christ, holy a right seed. A creator expresses itself. And so we ask our questions. What is the meaning of life? Why am I here? Jesus answers in this way. To this end was I born, and into this world the cause that I came into this world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Well, that pretty much sums it up for us too. We were sent into this world to bear witness to the truth of us. Well, how does one bear witness? How might we do this? Well, to bear witness to something, to anything, we must first be aware that it actually exists. We must be able to say, yes, yes, there is such a thing. I have seen it and I have felt it, and now I can accept that it is so. We begin by acknowledging that God has given us his only begotten Son, Christ, as our true self. And the function of this presence, the one that has been planted in the midst of us, is to go before us to make the crooked places straight. It goes before us to calm the storm and to correct the misunderstanding. Now, when we bear witness to something, We do so on several different levels of awareness. For instance, let's talk about something out here. We have been told there is an art gallery downtown, located on the mall. We have been told that the gallery contains pieces of art by the masters, a truly wonderful display. There are special exhibits, and it is suggested that we might wish to visit. So we go down to the mall, and we find that building that is known as the National Gallery of Art, the place that houses those wonderful treasures. Now we can bear witness to the fact that there is such a building. We believe it to be so because that is what the sign says. But we cannot yet bear witness to the pieces of art because we have not entered the gallery. When we enter the building, we walk by the paintings hanging on the walls. Now we may bear witness to the fact that, yes indeed, there are pieces of art hanging on the walls in that building. Now, even though we can bear witness to the building and to the pieces of art, we really don't know anything about art itself. We have not taken the time to study it or to learn about the masters, the artists, and what their message might be. We can bear witness that these things exist, but we have no personal understanding of them. Well, this is how it is for us when it comes to bear witness to the holy right seed planted in us. We may bear witness to its existence because we read it in the book of Jeremiah. Jesus, ancient mystics, and modern-day metaphysicians speak of it. So it must be so. We go to study groups, much like the Tuesday evening group, to discuss exactly what this might mean. The books we read and the discussion about the books that we read bear witness that there is such a thing to the truth of us. But until truth has been revealed within us, until it becomes an activity in our individual consciousness, you know, we will have no personal understanding of it. To bear witness to that holy right seed in the midst of us, we must first acknowledge that this seed is Christ in us, and that Christ is there for the express purpose to do the will of God in us. And what is the will of God? That we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. It requires us to step aside from our old habits of identification, to step aside from our old ways of thinking. It requires us to release any concepts and ideas that we may have held about us. Only then may we become still, turn within, and allow the divine idea to reveal its presence. Remember to view those pieces of art hanging on the wall. We had to enter the place that housed them. To acquaint ourselves with the divine idea in the midst of us, we must enter the dwelling place of the divine idea. Really, there is no other way. When we meet on Tuesday evening to read and to discuss a book, we know that in order to receive the message, it must first be accepted in our consciousness. To truly appreciate art or music, We must lose ourselves in it. Only then will it reveal itself to us. We don't go to the dwelling place in the midst of us for any other purpose than to lose ourselves in its presence. To get caught up in its revelation, to listen from the heart. Now, when we discover Christ in us, it brings a feeling of joy and of elation. And we are meant to share this with others. We are meant to live this idea out into the world. We are not meant to keep this identity just to ourselves. We are not meant to go to the mountaintop and hide it, or to go to some far-off village where we can be by ourselves and bask in our new information. Jesus understood this. He went to the mountaintop, to his highest place in consciousness, and there he communed with God. And then we are told that he came back down and he walked among the people. He did this because he understood that the divine ideal that was planted in the midst of him is the same idea that is planted in all mankind. Remember, Jesus came into this world to bear witness to truth, to bear witness to others, so that they could also discover Christ in them. Jesus told us about this. We learned and heard about the National Gallery of Art because someone else knew about it and suggested that we might like to visit and discover its treasures for ourselves. Jesus knew about Christ, and his mission was to tell others of its treasures. We don't bear witness of something just to ourselves. We bear witness to all who are ready to receive it. And remember, the reason of all of this is really to learn about truth, to live it, and then to allow it to become our way of life. Now, at first, we might seem like it's just as an abstract idea, living from our divine nature. We remind ourselves that, after all, we are in the world. And the world brings us much to consider. But what the world brings us is not true of us. The world judges, and it judges according to age, to education, culture, race, and gender. It places labels, naming things according to what is accepted at that moment. Well, this is not who we are. Since our divine nature is who we are, it should be natural for us to live from that awareness. When we think about it, really, it should be. But in order to do this, there is really one little adjustment we must make. When we live for the awareness of the material world, we busy ourselves with making things happen, thinking, plotting, and planning our next course of action. When we live in spiritual awareness, we are led by spirit, and we do nothing on our own. Many cannot make this adjustment. They can bear witness that there is such a thing as a spiritual way of life. They can read about it, and certainly they can discuss it. But living by spirit requires a different place in consciousness, and some of us simply are not willing or able or ready to go there. There must be conscious oneness with what is in the midst of us before we can express its attributes and benefit from its treasures. Simply put, we must live what it is we bear witness to. Now, with this new information, the transition from the man of earth to that man who has his being in Christ begins to be made, each according to his own pace and according to his own receptivity. Now, I have noticed something interesting about the authors of the books we read on Tuesday evening. Each one of them has had a personal experience when something happened. Something was revealed, and they were not the same person. In the Bible, we are told that Paul received his awareness of God in a blinding flash within himself. Moses received his revelation, "I am that I am," within himself. Until truth is revealed in us, we simply will not know truth. And you know, we can't rush it. We can't wish for it. We can't make it happen by ourselves, and nor can we give it to someone else. We may, however, prepare the way through study, through discussion, and through contemplation. But the revelation is always from within. It comes to us from Christ in the midst of us, when we are ready and able and willing to receive it. This is what is meant by that statement. We must all be taught of God. Really, in the end, that is the only relationship that we have. It's our relationship with God. We come into this world in material form. We stay for a while, and then we leave. We don't bring people and possessions with us when we are born, nor do we take people and possessions with us when we die. It's just God in us. It is always just God in us. And you know what? This is our sufficiency. It is helpful to remember this when we are going through life's challenges with certain expectations. When we know that we are of God, we understand not just the Father and I are one, but also we know that the Father expresses as us. Now, this business about truth really concerns ideas that we entertain about God. And we call this religion. Now, true religion is really an activity of the heart. It is possible to discover religion in a church or in a group. But the spiritual life is found in the heart. Our minds allow us to think about God, and in our time of thinking, we form ideas and concepts. This activity bears witness to the fact that we believe there is such a thing as God. But the mind will not reveal that we are a noble vine, holy a right seed. This information is given to the heart. When we know about the holy right seed planted in us, when we know us as Christ, now we may claim that heritage. Our inheritance is, "All that I have is thine." Now, what might this be? Exactly what does God have that can serve as our inheritance? God being spirit means that what we claim is spiritual. We might even call it those spiritual treasures. It is unmanifest and it is unseen. But it is out of this stuff that everything is made that is made. The creativity of God sends forth in manifestation what makes up the abundant life. Remember, the purpose of the Son is to express the will of the Father. And when the Son is led by Spirit, R goes before us as our food, as our occupation, our supply, and as our relationships. When led by Spirit, we do not concern ourselves with these things. The only concern is to abide in that place that houses the divine idea. Right now, we possess all that will ever unfold into our experience for all of the days to come. It is already embodied in our consciousness. And when we abide in this holy place, it will unfold to us day by day, naturally, as a result of our place in consciousness. Abiding in the holy place, it's not easy, and it takes practice. We don't find it and then stay there. Most of us, well, we go in and out. We test and then we try. In our time of study and discussion, there are times when we actually get glimpses. There are times in our meditations when we do feel the presence. But life has a way of intruding. And sometimes the intrusions, well, they get our attention. I dare say that many people seek out a study of truth as a way of solving problems and seeking improvement. After all, we tell ourselves, if we are to live the abundant life, then truth will somehow make it happen. And then we proceed to tell God how to do this. Basically, what we're doing, we are trying to use truth. One of my correspondence students with the Divine Science School shared how much his life has improved since he began his studies. Now, understand that he had just received Lesson 2 in the Basic Principle class when he made this comment. He said he even liked his job. He met some wonderful people, and he was able to help others who could benefit what he had learned in just that one lesson. He had started to read the Bible, and he definitely feels that he is now living the spiritual life. Well, I told him I was pleased that he had noticed improvements in his life. I also cautioned him that as he continued his studies, he would notice times when nothing seemed to be happening. Times when not only did nothing seem to be happening, but things actually seemed to be falling apart. I told him he might be tempted to give up the teaching, saying, it doesn't work. Give up his studies. I told him that these would be the times of deep contemplation. When this becomes our experience, it doesn't mean that God has left us. God can't leave us. He gave us Christ right in the midst of us. It just means that we must understand that our only desire is to know God and to leave the world alone. You know, it is true that when we become aware that there is a source of power and inspiration, we do begin to receive its fruitage. And the temptation is to place our attention and focus on the fruitage, completely ignoring the source that brought it into manifestation. There might even be the temptation to try to use truth, directing it in some way. Let us remember that this that is within us is to flow out into expression, all without our help or without our suggestions. Our personal act of surrender is the acknowledgement, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth me. This morning we have the opportunity to bear witness to Christ in the midst of us. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we begin our time of meditation, let us be mindful that we are entering into the presence of God. In the stillness, our own soul's awareness acknowledges that I, in the midst of me, am holy. We may relax the body, releasing all tension and concern. In God's kingdom, we find harmony, joy, love, and contentment. And as we rest in this awareness, it is revealed, this is my child, my only begotten child. I have made him a noble vine, holy, a right seed, and that is how I know him. As we leave our time of meditation, let us remember to know us as God knows us. We are not that man of the dust, but rather, we are that man who has his being in Christ. Let us be about our Father's business. We came into this world to bear witness unto the truth. We do so by living as a conscious child of God. This is our mission. Let us fulfill it. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.